This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي السمح رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغسل من بول الجارية ويرش من بول الغلام أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي وصحح الحاكم. Narrated Abu Samh radiyallahu an that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the urine of a baby girl should be washed off and the urine of a baby boy should be sprinkled by pouring water over it completely. Reported by Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, and Al-Hakim graded as sahih.
Sprinkled, say that again.
The urine, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the urine of a baby girl should be washed off and the urine of a baby boy should be sprinkled by pouring water over it completely.
Yeah, that's wrong translation. Sprinkle is not pouring water. Makes no sense. Looks like the translator have already an opinion on the issue. That's why he translated according to his opinion.
He put it in parentheses.
It should be sprinkled with water. Is that what it is, or sprinkled by pouring?
The translation says, and the urine of a baby boy should be sprinkled, and then he put it in parentheses.
Yeah, so by pouring it is his opinion. Let me see this translation here. He said, with water. So the translation I have here, with water. So, because by pouring water, this is one of the opinions that they understood from the word sprinkling, it means washing. So that's a good example of how your fiqh position determine how you translate. And that's a lot in tafsir al-Qur'an as well. يفعلون هذا في تفسير القرآن. عن أبي السمح رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغسل من بول الجارية ويرش من بول الغلام. This hadith reported by Abu Samh radiyallahu anhu. Abu Samh was well known by his kunya. His name, it been said, Iyad. قيل أن اسمه Iyad. And also it been said Ziyad. And it been said maybe Malik. And the reason for these different opinions, because he is known with his kunya, not with his name, like Abu Huraira and others. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم here that the urine of a baby girl and the urine of a baby boy, غلام. The word غلام, true, it's a boy. في لغة العرب, you only say غلام and refer to a boy. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, the urine of a baby girl should be washed. Should be washed. Yusal. Washing, it means pouring a lot of water to make things, what? Soaking with the water. So it basically filled with water. And sprinkling, you rush, is just basically you make it wet. But it doesn't mean that you make it soaking wet or to make it basically washed or dipped in water or pouring a large quantity of water or amount of water. This hadith, al-mu'allif rahimahullah, narrated or brought this hadith fi ghayat al-raw'a, very beautiful the way he put this two hadith, this one and the coming ones. We learned and the najasa, we learn about something called najasa, impurity. But he wants us to know something else here, that the impurity and najasa can be classified to different categories. One of it is al najasa al mukhaffafa, a lighter type of najasa. So it's najis, but it is lighter najasa. It's not severe. is not strong. Okay? And where we get that concept from? Najis is najis. Impure is impure. No, that's not true. Impurity is level. The concept of impurity has levels. One of it, in the top, it's called najasa mukhaffafa, very light najasa. Okay? And according to those who believe sperm is najis, they consider sperm, the previous hadith also, very light najasa. That's why they said Aisha just remove it with her basically nails. And we talked about this, and we said the correct opinion that sperm is not, semen is not najis. Anyway, but this hadith, where it says that there is a concept of severe najasa and minor najasa, or major and minor, lighter and severe. Because in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam differentiate between the urine of the boy and the urine of the girl. So he said, for the urine of the girl must be washed, and the boy, sprinkling will be enough. In another hadith, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in Sunan Abi Dawood, was Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting, and they brought a baby boy. He was carrying the baby boy, infant. He urinated on his lap, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet ﷺ took water, just made his hand wet, and he sprinkled the water over his garment. Later on, they brought another infant, and it was what? A girl. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and infants, what infants do? MashaAllah, infants do nothing but intake and out. You know, they, mashallah, yeah, and air, eating and downloading. That's all what they do. So he seen the baby comes and urinated in the Prophet's lap as well. This time, because it's the girl, in Nabi Sallam, he ordered them to bring water. He poured the water and he washed his thobe. He washed his garment. He didn't treat the urine of the girl in the same way he treated the urine of the boy. Al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala said that this is because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the difference. So the urine of the baby girl is just a najasa, impurity. The baby boy, it's a lighter one. It is still najis. It's still impure, but it is lighter one. That's why the way to remove, remember the chapter is about impurity and how can you remove it. So the removal of the lighter najasa is by just sprinkling water over it. You don't need to wash the whole thing. Is that clear? Otherwise, urine, by the consensus of ulama, najis. Qawla wahid, al-bawl najis. But the urine of the baby boy, different than the urine of the baby girl, according to this hadith. And in one of the narration, that في حديث أم قيس that the baby that who urinated on the Prophet ﷺ لم يأكل, did not eat yet. So that shows that we are talking here about the differentiation between the urine of the infant baby girl and the infant baby boy only for those babies and infant who did not start eating yet. They depend on milk. They depend on milk. In the traditional books of fiqh, they said they depend on breast milk. Question. Can we say the formula milk take the same rule of the breast milk? Yes, absolutely take the same rule. That's why when it comes to the spit out, the throw up, all of the things apply to both. Why? Because in the old days, the only form of milk that you can think of for babies was the breastfeeding. Because the formula milk is not like a cow milk. It's a formula to be badal, to be replacement for the what? For the breast milk. So, al-badal ya'khudh hukm al-mubdal min. The replacement take the rule of the thing that it's replacing. So, and in hadith Ummi Qays said, lam ya'kul, didn't eat. So it shows you that it is about eating. So if you give your baby milk and water Jews still take the same ruling. Anything that it is a form of liquid, still the same ruling. But if he starts eating, that's where al-ulama rahimahullah said the rule would change. They made, some scholars said there is exceptions. Two things they can eat and they still consider infant and consider still the urine of the baby boy, lighter najasa. You don't need to wash. What these two items? They said honey and the date. Why? They said because infant, you put the date in their mouth, okay, so they can take the sweetness of it. And honey, also they said they take the same ruling. Tayyib. Just this is a side point. First of all, honey is not good for babies, infants. Okay? Infants, they said it's because it has certain bacteria. It has to be a 2 years old to be able to consume honey. Otherwise, can be dangerous and can actually cause a serious threat to the baby's health if it's before 2 years old. And you can check with doctors on that. When I was in Malaysia, I attended a ceremony of aqiqah. They have a ceremony, and I have to sign paper says that this one's aqiqah was made on behalf of that boy or that girl. And I was taken by surprise. I thought aqiqah like normal. I mean, it's normal, but I mean, like what we used to in many countries, which is something, it means we're going to eat food, that's right. We're going to have like food and eat and just maybe a talk. And I found it, no, there is a sermon there and a procedure and tradition that they follow. And they had seven kids, seven aqiqas in the masjid that day. So every family carrying their baby, and it means a lot for them, for the sheikh to do this procedure. And I have to sign my name and give a certificate, and they put it in a, you know, hang it. It's like a big, big deal for them. So anyway, when they line up and they came, I found out that I'm supposed to shave everyone's head. They give me a shaver in a tray. I'm supposed to shave every baby's head. And I'm supposed to dip my finger in a honey and put it in the baby's mouth. Okay? And a date and put it in their baby's mouth. And I sign it. I'm glad that I'm not going to circumcise them too. But that's the only thing missing. So I said, hey, I'm too scared to carry a baby. Do you want me to shave the baby's head like just newborn? I can't do that. That's number one. Number two, honey is not safe. Number three, how would you want me to dip my finger and everybody's like in the date and put it? My finger is not clean, and from one baby mouth to another baby's mouth is not safe. He said, oh, you're American, you're too like, spoiled, whatever it is. And I couldn't make that call. Yeah, I'd have Zamzam also, something like that. I put it in every baby's mouth, and I made dua for them, and I signed the certificate. But my point is, so this idea, because it's in the Shafi'i's fiqh, this issue of honey and date. But is it true that we should put a date in the baby's mouth? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did chew a date, and he took it and he put it in the mouth of some children, some infant, like Ibn Zubayr. That's why Nawawi rahimahullah said, it is sunnah to ask a righteous man to do so for your children. But I don't agree with that, because we might have a different understanding than Imam Nawawi rahimahullah for the concept of blessing. We don't believe that a human being can bless another human being. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum did that with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different than anyone else. His body is different. His saliva is different. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any boy that he made tahniq, tahniq it means he put his finger saliva inside the baby's mouth. This baby became very eloquent. That's why Ibn Zubayr, he said, كان لا يبارز في ثلاثة في العبادة والشجاعة والبلاغة. No one can compete with him in three areas. Bravery, so brave. Number two, because he is also very eloquent. And number three, an avid worshipper. And some said because of that. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم when he wipe over a baby's head, this person never get bald, even when he go old. His hair is so nice and smooth. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed. That's why in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hair, the Anas ibn Malik used to put his hair in a cup and drink the water, and he said, I will be healed. It's a difference. That's when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed his hair among the companion after he shaved it in Hajj. So, this is a blessing. The Prophet ﷺ's body is literally blessed, and that can bless the people who counter that body. But does other human being have the same qualities, abilities? The answer is no. Who is the best man after the Prophet ﷺ? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Did we ever heard that the tabi'een, the successor, the companion, brought their kids, Ya Abu Bakr, come and bless my son? Come spit on my son's face? No. Or like mouth? Or give me your saliva to put it in his ear? Or anything like that? No. This concept that human beings can literally, something from them bless another person, is a concept that is very alien to the Salaf, to the early Muslim generation. It was invented later on, and it became so extreme to the extent that people start making barakah, seeking blessings from the najasa of the person, from the filth of the person. كانوا يتبخرون بعذرة الحد يعني بعض من يزعمون فيهم الولاية. Some of these sheikh, they will even dry his feces and put it in a charcoal so the smoke of it will be a blessing. That's how far can people go. I saw in Mecca one of these like sheikh, when he break his fast, he'll take a date, take a bite, then he will throw it, the other half. And the students will be fighting over that. Because they believe that this sheikh's saliva is blessing. Make tawaf, and another man holding the tissue paper like this, literally like this, next to him, and he's making tawaf. And he will take one tissue and wipe his sweat, then he throw it. And people will fight over that tissue, believing that there is a blessing in his sweat. An eBay account for one of the sheikh. eBay account. He sells his clothes. And that sheikh is an American. He's not like some like mutakhallif, someone lives in a dark hole in the world. That comes from America. Western background. And in the eBay, he sells his stuff, underwear. I'm serious. Socks, imama, undershirt. And you take it for the barakah, for the blessing. And you can keep on and on and stuff like that, which is very weird. It can go to be very weird practices. No doubt that this is not from the way of the Salaf al-Salih radiallahu anhum. Nobody understood that the barakah of a human being can be taken literally like that. The barakah of Sayyid Muhammad, Sayyid Arafat, Ahmad, Abu Walid, all the brothers here or sisters, the barakah of you is your dua, is the mu'min mubarak. Yani al-mu'min is a reason for Allah to accept his dua, to Allah to bring goodness because of your iman and your faith. But not a tangible type of barakah. I wipe over you, I heals you. No, nobody understand that. Okay? Huh? No, he has a lot. Anyway, so they said, anyway, going back to the call point, they said, so the baby who don't eat these, they said this exception for these two. So you see there is no base even for these two. The point here that An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, and Ash-Shawkani and others, the baby not be a baby who eating food. So if the baby starts eating food, they are equal, boy and girls, by the consensus of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala. Some ulama said, but this is not very strong opinion, that even if he eats, but he still breastfeed, the rule is different from a boy to a girl. So if he eats a little bit and he basically breastfeed a little bit, some ulama said it still will be treated differently, the urine of the boy than the urine of the girl. But Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah and Ibn Muwaffiq ibn Qudama, after they mentioned this opinion, they said the correct opinion that it must be depend on milk, breast milk or formula milk. Depends. Yani, if one time, let's say, Cerelac that mix with milk, it's still considered milk. But, you know, Similac, this stuff. But if they start, you know, eating like, you know, food, like start eating bananas and start eating potato and start eating stuff of that nature, that khalas moved from that. They became both the same, both has to be washed. The urine of the boy and the urine of the girl. Is this something al-ulama all agree upon, that there is a difference between the boy and the girl when it comes to the urine? No, there is three different positions. The first position, that for the boy, it is only available, only allowed, only sufficient for you to sprinkle water over it, to rush al-ma' alay. You just basically sprinkle the water over it to make it wet. As for the girl and all the infant, it has to be washed. وهذا قول علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, that's what Ali رضي الله عنه said. And a large number of the ulama al-tabi'in, ka'ata' al-Zuhri, al-Hasan al-Basri. And this is also the position of al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahawi. Ishaq ibn Rahawi has his own madhab. And Ibn Wahb and al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And also it is the position of al-Imam al-Awza'i, Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, the Shafi'i madhab, and one narration from Maliki, but is not the official opinion of the Maliki. Okay, all of them said that. Why? Because this hadith is very explicit, and also because hadith Ummi Qais, I told you, when she brought the baby and he urinated, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نضحه بالماء ولم يغسل a baby boy, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم spray water over it and he didn't wash his thobe. The second opinion, so they took this hadith and they said they are very explicit. The second opinion, which is the Hanafi opinion, Maliki's opinion, a lot of ulama Ahlul Kufa, they said there is no difference between the boy and the girl. Both must be washed. قالوا لابد يغسل من كليهما. And they said sprinkling, rush, it means washing. He pour water. Even though linguistically they said we have to do it this way. Why? They said because we make qiyas. What's the qiyas? If they are adult, there is no difference between a man and a woman. So there is no difference between the adult or when they are what? Infant. Do we differentiate between the feces? No, they are the same. No feces, girl versus boy. They are the same. So these said the qiyas. You cannot make difference. Don't differentiate between both of them. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, generally, istanzihu min al-bawl. Clean the urine. But as you see, this analogy cannot be used when you have a text. Al-qiyas ma'a al-nas yusamma qiyas fasid in the ulama. Analogy, while you have explicit text, is a bad analogy. It's an invalid analogy. Also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is Allah, he's the one who made these different Allah differentiates between the urine and the feces, urine of the boy and the urine of the girl. It's a text. It's not something we came up with that. Otherwise, yes, it makes sense, no different, maybe. But that's what the hadith said, what the Prophet ﷺ did. And as for the hadith, clean or stenzi, who cleaned the urine, clean yourself from the urine, we're still cleaning us ourselves from the urine by sprinkling the water over the urine of the boy. Al-Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, and also been reported that Imam Malik, and one narration, Imam Shafi'i said, the girls and the boy are the same, but not to be washed, both to be sprinkled. They said the only reason the Prophet ﷺ washed, because that one of the ahadith, when he had the girl next, and she, because it's a double, so he has to wash it. But that's incident. But what about the hadith that has nothing to do with the story? The hadith is a statement, explicit. Wash the girl and sprinkle from the يغسل من البول الجارية ويرش من الغلام. And in al-Bukhari, only one, a boy came, urinated, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not wash his sprinkle. He said, this is what it is. So they took this hadith al-Bukhari and they said, we make analogy by saying girls should be similar to boy. Again, go to the Qiyas, but the opposite of the Hanafi way. And also they said, because that's what it looks like. But again, and they said, because the urine that comes not as a result of food is a very light urine, baby girl or baby boy. That's why they said it's enough to sprinkle water on both of them. To be honest with you, the first position is the majority of the fuqaha position, and it is correct and strong because the hadith is supporting that position, who differentiate between the baby girls and the baby boy. Again, all of them said it's najis, but for the boy, they said it is lighter najas. And also Islam give us break when it comes to the baby boy. Tabir al-ulama asked the question, why al-Islam differentiate between the baby boy and the baby girl? Why the baby girl has to be washed and the baby boy has only enough to sprinkle over it? They tried to come up with what? Explanation. So they came up with the following explanation. Number one, قَالُوا بَوْلِ الْغُلَامِ يخرج من خرم صغير فينتشر ويغلب ويصعب معه الغسل. They said, the baby boy, when he urinate, what happened? He shoot. Have you ever remember your, not yourself, have you ever remember like your kids when they urinate? They shoot out. That's how, you know, men, yani when they urinate, they basically shoot out. So if you're going to shoot out the urine, the area that the urine will cover is what? Massive, big. And remember, in the old days, they don't have clothes, they don't have underwear, they don't have all this concept, you know? So if he's going to shoot, it's like, you know, you're shooting far. So that means the water and the washing will be so hard. That's why Islam came to make it easy for the parents. Otherwise, they would lose a lot of water. It would require a lot of effort. Versus the girl. When she urinates, she shoot down. She only wet what is between her legs. But the boy is different in front of him. So they said, that's why the girl, it became much easier to wash versus the boy became so hard to wash. That's one explanation. Another explanation, قالوا لأن الغلام يحمل أكثر. I'm glad the doctor came. So they said because the baby boy is carried more often than the baby girl. I don't know where they came that from. I never remember any of my kids like that. Anybody think this is the case? Anybody here has a mixed girls and boys? I couldn't think of that. Did you ever notice that? Yeah, some of the fuqaha said, not one, not two, by the way. They said that. Anyway, number three. The third explanation, it's a modern explanation. It's only done recently. What is this? It's a study done by two professors, Professor Muhammad Ali and Professor Ahmed Saleh. They are both doctors. They did a study, and they basically studied 73 infants, 38 boy and 35 girls. And they classify the 73 infants into the following categories. They said, first category, less than 1 month old. Second category, from 1 month to 2 months old. 3 months, 2 months to 3 months, and 2 months to 3 months, then 3 months and up. So less than a month to two, two to three, and three and up, four categories. Is that clear? Wadah? With how many kids? 73. So they start examine the urine of the girls and the boys in this age. And they want to see if they are identical and all of them have the same exact food, which is milk, breast milk. Okay? And they apply a method that is established in 1884. It's called the Grand Stain. Familiar with it, Doctor? Shwab? The Gram stain, yeah, basically they put a color so it comes purple, I guess, or red. So that's how they will find out the bacteria in the urine or the blood. Anyway, I'm not gonna go into all the technicals because even sometimes I don't know how to read it, some of these terminologies, you know. But I don't think you're interested in it. But I have it if you're interested to look at it in yourself. But what caught my attention in this study, they said that we found comparing between the 1 month old, less than month old, they said we found the urine of the girls different than the urine of the boy. Even though both of them are completely depend on breast milk or milk. And they found 95.44% of different type of bacteria in the urine, while they found the percentage only 41% in the boys. Then they went to the 1 month to 2 month. They found that the number, the percentage went down in females to 91, and for the boys went to 24%. 2 months to 3 months went down to 93, or basically became 93, and 24% for the boys. And when we went to 3 months or 4 months and older, girls were about 69, while boys are way less than that. I think in the 40s or something like that. So they said, the older the kids they got, the more close to each other boys and girls when it comes to the urine. But the earlier they are, there is a huge difference between the urine of the boy and the urine of the girl. So these two doctors, after they did this sample on 73 children, they said it makes perfect sense why you have to wash the baby girl's urine versus to sprinkle that baby boy's urine. Because of, they said, completely it's different. It's not, it's much safer to touch or to have the baby boy's urine than the baby girl's. I'm not expert to analyze this study. If somebody interested, I can give them that reference and they can look at it themselves. But I thought it's something worth sharing with you guys. That I found. I want to say something in regard to the issue of removing the najasa. It's so interesting how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just sprinkle the water will be enough, and this one is to be washed. It's to make things easy for us. My brothers and sisters, when it comes to a najasa, impurity, and removing it, a lot of people have this idea that they have to be in the safe side. They always think, and some people even preach, when it comes to najasa, always take the safe side. Always take the extra step. And by the way, that's completely the opposite of what the scholar recommend. You might be surprised to hear that, some of you. It's actually the other way around. I'll tell you from now, when it comes to this issue, you should actually do the other way around. Don't exaggerate. Don't go to the safe side. Just be normal. Why? لِأَنَّ الْعُلَمَ يَقُولُونَ أَبْوَابُ النَّجَاسَاتِ وَالطَّهَارَاتِ أَعْظَمْ أَبْوَابِ الْوَسْوَسَةِ فِي الدِّينِ الفقهاء رحمه الله said, the thing that the shaitan used the most against people to play with their head, the issue of impurity and purity. The moment you open the door to say, I want to be in the safe side, he gets you. And one step to another, one step to another, you find yourself completely lost. That's why al-Fuqaha rahimahullah said, you don't even care. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, when someone said, oh, sometimes I see urine spots in my underwear or my thobe or my body. You know what Ahmad advised him to do? And there is a hadith been narrated about that, but I don't know how authentic it is. But it looks like Ahmad took the idea from the hadith. He said, when you finish urinating, take water with your hand and throw it all over your, basically, thigh and around your private area. Why? So next time when you see drops, you wouldn't know. It's a urine or it is water. So you don't need to open the shaitan's door. In another world, in another word, when it comes to the issue of this, don't go that extra saving steps thinking, oh, I need to take the safe side. No. Khalas, alhamdulillah, dry yourself and move on. Don't even look twice. And that's basically the advice that al-fuqaha rahimahumullah and the ulama said in regard to this. Next hadith.
وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي
يعني both of them أسماء and أبو بكر because both of them companions
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في دم الحيض يصيب الثوب تحطه ثم تقرصه بالماء ثم تنضح ثم تصلي فيه متفق عليه Narrated Asma bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding the menstruation blood that soils a garment, she should scrape it, rub it with water using her fingers, then sprinkle it or wash it with water, then she may pray in it. Agreed upon.
Yeah. Asma bint Abi Bakr is a daughter of the greatest companions, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anha. Her nickname is Ummi Abdullah. Her grandfather was a companion, Abu Quhafa. Her husband was a companion, Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. Al-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Al-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Urwa, her son. So, al-Zubayr, her husband. Her son is a companion, according to some scholar, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Her sister is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ and a companion, Aisha radiallahu anha. She was older than Aisha, Asma, she was older than Aisha. She was about 10 or 13 years old, or 13 years older than Aisha radiallahu anha. But she lived way after Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. She died about 15 years after Aisha's death. She died while she is 100 plus years old. Asma, she died, she became blind in the end of her life, but she never lost her mind, you know, or her ability or her function. Like, she was fully aware. Her mental capacity was completely perfect before she died. Also, one thing they said, she never lost a tooth in her life. All her teeth were just pearl teeth, mashallah, perfect sets of teeth. She died while she has a complete set of teeth. She's 100 years old, and you think she is like a young girl. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha, known as Dhatun Nitaqain, known for her piety and salah and siyam and so forth. She asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the blood of the menstruation blood, dam al hayd, that smears a garment, touch the garment, stain the garment. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Laha tahuttuhu." Tahuttu, like tahukku, lafdan wa ma'na. Same to the word hakka. Hatta is like hakka, which it means basically to scrub it. Okay? And you only scrub things which is dry, inshallah. You only tahut what is dry. That's why we said tahatat awraqu shajar. It means the leaves of the tree fall off when you shake it. Only when it is what? Dry, it fall off. So al-hat, it means something dry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling about, you remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about the semen. He said you don't need to wash it, just with your finger, that basically dry semen, just remove it with your finger. Here he said no. He said you need to remove it and to scrub it, okay? Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not only that, you rub it with water. وَتَقْرُصُهُ. إِشْ تَقْرُصُهُ؟ We know. قَرْص. قَرَصْتُ يعني إيش؟ الضبط. القرص, like this, pinch. There is قَرْص and there is قَبْص. Have you heard the word قَبْص? القَبْص, this, with the tip of your finger. You do قَبْصَ. Okay? That's why some people think that the beard should be قَبْصَ. They read the hadith قَبْضَ, they read it قَبْصَ, which is completely wrong reading. It's قَبْضَ, but they wrote it without the dot. قَبْصَ, like this. So anyway, so here, the قَبْص is like this, but here, قَرْص. قَرْص, it's when you put your finger in the middle of your other finger. And القرص is very strong than this, than picking something. So it means that you bring the garment together under the water and you basically start rubbing it with the water very strongly to remove what? The blood. So first you move the dry, then you wash the stains and the mark of it off. That's it? No. ثُمَّ تَنْضَحُهُ بِالْمَاءِ. ثُمَّ انْضُحِهِ. النَّضْح, it means you pour water over it. So now you remove it, you bring it wet and you rub it. Then after you do all this, you still bring water and you pour it over it. That's three stages. And النَّضْح, it means when you pour the water or let the water flow over the garment. For those, since we talk about lugha, feel kalima, there is another word I'm sure you're familiar with, an-nadh, and there is an-nadh. Naddakhatan fihima aynani, naddakhatan. He didn't say naddahatan. What's an-nadh? Nadakha an-nadaha. An-nadh huwa siyulat al-ma' bisuhula. When the water is poured in a smooth way, just flowing. An-nadh, it means bubble. It means al-fawaran. It means burst. It means gushing out. Okay? That's why Allah said about the spring in the Jannah, it's coming like the bubble coming out. It's like a burst. It's coming out. It's like gushing out of the well. Okay? The word is so descriptive. Anyway, so what this hadith tells us? This hadith is very beautiful. Imam Ibn Hajar brought it to talk about another level of najasa. So you have the lighter one, like the boy, the urine of the baby boy. Then you have something called mughallada, extreme, severe najasa. How do we know that the blood of the menstruation is severe najasa? Is a very strong type of najasa. Because the way we've been ordered to clean it. Did you notice? Not only to wash it like the urine of the regular human being, or, you know, or like the baby girl. No. You remove it. Then you rub it with water. Then you pour water on the top. Three levels of removing the najasa. So here you see that this hadith, al-ulama rahimahullah, use it to say that the najasa can be classified to three levels. Regular one, lighter one, and severe one. And this is the example of the severe one. This hadith also shows us that blood is najis. That's why Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, he reported this hadith under the chapter Babu Ghasli Ad-Dam, the chapter about washing blood. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he said the najasa of the blood, the impurity of the blood, and how you should wash it. So you might say, Sheikh, the blood or the menstruation blood? Al-ulama specifically said the blood in general. Even though this is about al-hayd, but there is no difference between hayd and others. Because the blood, is najis. The blood of the menstruation is more severe in its najasa. But otherwise, all of them najis. And that's the position of the Shafi'iyya, the Malikiyya, the Hanabila, and the Ahnaf. They said, the four madhab said, the blood is najis. Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was asked, what's the difference between blood and pimples? Qayh, or discharges like ايش القيح, like the pus come out of the body. He said, the blood, لم يختلف الناس فيه. The blood, العلماء have no disagreement among themselves about it, that it is impure. But the pus, there is a difference of opinion. That's why Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said, the evidence that the blood is najis, overwhelming. I don't know anyone among the Muslim scholars disagree that the blood is impure. Except what is by mentioned by one of the fuqaha, he mentioned him, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and he is not fuqaha, he is more of a theologian, and he said, this theologian is, his opinion is not, take, it should not be taken as an opinion or considered as a valid or a legit opinion. That's why Ibn Hazm, Ibn Abdul Barr, Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Rushd, Ibn Hajar, all of them mentioned that there is ijma', an agreement between the fuqaha. To be just honest, I'll give you the microphone to make the adhan. There is a difference of opinion about the blood, but not the blood of the menstruation. The blood of the human being, and I will explain it to you after the adhan, inshallah. I'll take your question as well after the adhan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So in this hadith, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالغ في الأمر بالتطهير. Ask us to exhaust ourselves in purifying this type of blood to show you that this najasa is severe, mushaddada or mughallada. Do we have to follow these three steps with the blood of menstruation? If a woman today had a blood in her underwear or in the sheet from the menstruation, do you need to, somebody would say, Sheikh, today we just dump it where? In the washing machine. Yes, it is sufficient. But if in a case you don't have a washing machine, she's traveling, she's in a hotel, she doesn't have a change, and it comes in her sarwal, in her pants, and she needs to wear that, that will be the right way, which is al-qars, the Nabi Sallam ordered her to put her finger, and she rub it with the water for the blood to be completely removed. But otherwise, the washing machine will take care of that. What's the ruling in regard to blood in general? Al-ulama rahimahumullah said, we can classify the blood into two categories. The blood of human and blood of animals. Since we talk about bloods, to you understand the rulings. The blood of the human, we can also classify to two categories. The first category, the blood of human, which is, comes in a form of, in a female, the blood of the menses, hayd, post needle bleeding, and nifas, okay? Or the blood that comes out of men and women from the urine place or from the anal. الدم اللي يخرج من الدبر أو القبر. Somebody urinate and blood comes with it. Comes with the feces. Let's say somebody bleed there. This type of blood, العلماء, all of them agree is najis. That comes, not somebody has a hernia or have like, what do you call that, hemorrhoid. I talk about something from inside the anal, which is comes from the, where the feces comes, mixed with the feces. That's by consensus of the ulama as najis. And hemorrhoid also, but I'll tell you later on about that. So this is something that there is no difference of opinion. All the ulama from all the time, past and new, agreed that this type of blood is najis. The other type of blood, which is other than this, cut yourself, stop bleeding from your gum, somebody stab you, Allah forbid. As if you're going to think about it, if you get stabbed. Somebody shot you or stabbed you. This blood, what's the rule of that blood? Najis or not najis? We just heard al-ulama in the past, all of them said najis. Al-madhahib al-arba'a, the Shafi'i, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Hanbali, all of them said najis. The Hanbali made a very good distinguish, which is, I think everybody will agree. What the Hanbali said, قالوا, we differentiate between the blood that comes in a very small amount. Very small amount of blood. Like what? Nosebleed. Gum bleed. You know, sometimes even here, you know, around your nails, you know, you might remove the skin and a little bit of blood comes. Your dry lips sometimes can bleed. Go to Colorado and try. Or a high place. Okay? It's basically dry weather. That's right? Sometimes your knuckle bleed from working. They said this small amount of blood is forgiven. There's no rule for it. Okay? We're talking about a blood that a cut, a bleed. Somebody does, you know, poke himself to check the diabetes, sugar, nothing. But we're talking about a cut where the blood start coming. And, you know, you need to close the wound or to basically stitch it. Or it's a stabbing. They said this type of blood, no doubt, it is najis. And that's this is al-ijma' huki. There is a consensus among the earliest scholars about that. In modern days, there is some scholars said no. Among them, al-Shawkani rahimahullah, and al-Shaykh al-Albani, and Shaykhna al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, they all said that it is not najis. And first of all, their opinion really goes against almost everybody in the past. That's kind of from the beginning. Number two, Salah is 45? No, 45. No, today. Tomorrow? I have a good news for you. It's going to be today. Okay. So they said, it is basically, it's not najis. Why? They said because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never explained to people that it is najis. But al-haqiqah, this is not true. Al-Quran said about the blood that it is najis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said, أَوْ دَمًا مَسْفُوحًا. When you talk about the najasat, like the pigs and the... And he mentioned the blood. So, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about the blood of the woman, there is no difference. All the blood take the same ruling. The best thing that they have, those who said it's not najis, which is, this is, I think, what made them excited about their opinion. They said there is many evidence where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were injured in battles and they were bleeding and they were praying. And the best example is Umar was stabbed, وَكَانْ يَثْعُبْ دَمْ, pouring the blood coming, and he started praying. Said, that's our proof. But there's no proof in this at all. Why? Because al-fuqaha rahimahullah understood this and refute that. They said that at that time, if somebody stabbed, they don't have stitches, they don't have the way that we have today. What they do, they try to put the thing together, tie it until it what? Close. So while it is doing this, the blood will continue what? Coming out. This is something you have no control over it. So this is exactly what we said 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was teaching you, I told you about something called salas al-bawl, when someone have no control over their urine and sometimes after they finish, drop of urine keep coming. Nobody ever said, you know what, that the urine is not najis. Nobody ever said, we allowed them to pray with that because they are sick. It's a form of sickness and they be forgiving. And the same thing for those who are stopped, it's like someone who's sick and cannot control that blood. That's why it's coming. What are we going to tell him? You're not praying? We're still going to allow him to pray, even with this blood, because حُكْمُهُ حُكْمُ الْمَرِيضِ. He takes the ruling of the sick person and he's exempt from the ruling at that time. But not in any way, in any shape, in any form, in anyhow, that means that the blood is not najis. That makes no sense. I hope you get that. It makes no sense at all. Anyway, when it comes to the animals, we'll continue this next week, inshallah, because as we promised, tomorrow will be the 45. But when it comes to the blood of the animals, we'll talk about it. What's the ruling in regard to which one is considered najis, which one is not considered najis, and what the ulama rahimahullah said about that. Mosquito. You hit the mosquito and there is a blood in it. Would that be najis? Can you pray while you have it, that stain of blood on you? Or it has to be removed? You know? What about other than that? What about you want slaughter and you slaughter an animal in the Eid al-Adha and you have a stain of blood? What do you do? Can you pray with that close or you cannot? Okay? You hit a deer or balash deer. You hit something we don't eat. Huh? Coyote. And you go to risk the coyote, hold his neck and the blood gushing. You're just hypothetical. You went hunting. I went hunting that day for a grizzly bear in Alaska. Maybe you'll do that. And you shot the grizzly bear, and I didn't shoot grizzly bear. I'm not very big fan of shooting animals for the purpose of sports. But anyway, so you shot the thing, and the blood came on you. Can you pray? All these things we will talk about, inshallah. And we also will talk about Hadith Asma, because very attached to this, when she said, Ya Rasulullah, what if I wash it, but still the stain remains of the blood? And the Nabi told her, you can pray in it. Because that's another issue. A lot of people said, Sheikh, I wash my underwear, but there's a stain. Can I still use that garment? And we'll see. Nabi, someone, he said, yes, what that means and how this can apply to us, inshallah. So next week, we'll continue our discussion. JazakAllah khair. Aqim as-salah.